Get ready for Thanksgiving with your iDevices.
And we're going to get cooking in the kitchen with Leo.
I also have a new photo app that's going to make me an excellent photographer.
Smile for the camera. It's time for iOS Today.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
iOS Today is brought to you by Grammarly. Grammarly is a communication tool that helps people improve their writing to be mistake-free, clear, and effective. Start writing confidently. Go to grammarly.com/iOS today and get 20% off a Grammarly premium account right now. And by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Introducing Rate Shield Approval. If you're in the market to buy a home, Rate Shield Approval locks up your rate for up to 90 days while you shop. It's a real game changer. Learn more and get started at rocketmortgage.com/iOS today. iOS Today time. We have new watchOS. We have iPads, not new ones yet. Tomorrow... we have iPhones. We have tvOS. We have all the iOSs. Hello, everybody. Welcome to iOS Today. I'm Leo Laporte.
I'm Megan Maroney.
And did you do the new watch iOS?
I didn't do. I didn't know what you're talking about. No, I haven't updated my watch.
So last week, and I feel bad because I think it came right after the show, so we couldn't warn you if you're using an Apple Watch. Apple put out, I think it was 5.0.1, and it bricked a bunch of people's Apple Watches. Oh. Oops. Oops. So they pulled it back. It's funny because when Microsoft did this with Windows, it made a big stink. Nobody even mentioned this. Apple had this event and everybody forgot about it, right? Mm-hmm. They pulled it back, but now it's out again today with they say it won't brick your watches. But I, for one, am not in as big a hurry to update as I might have been last week.
Is there something in it that we need or that is
it's probably just fixes.
Okay.
But a fix that bricks your watch. By brick, I mean turns it into something as useful. Actually, not even as useful as a brick. As you can see, our walls are made of bricks. You wouldn't want to make a wall out of an Apple Watch.
No, you wouldn't.
Collection.
I'm going to see if it's going to offer me that. You have to have it on the charger. And
yeah, you can't do it now.
You can't do it
Don't
now?
Don't do it now.
Okay.
It's a big thing. I was thinking of doing it, and then I thought, why hurry?
Well, it's checking for update just to see if I have it.
You do.
But today we're going to talk about preparing for Thanksgiving. It is officially November. It is Election Day in the United States, if you're watching this on the day we're recording it.
You see? I voted. Did you vote yet?
No. I did vote. I filled out my ballot, and I'm going to drop it off right after we're done here.
Okay, me too. I hope everybody who's watching this live or watching it on Tuesday will vote. If you're watching this on Wednesday, it's too late. Don't vote now.
No. But if your
ballot comes... What was on Saturday Night Live, right? Voter suppression techniques? It was very funny.
I didn't see it.
Don't go vote on Tuesday. It's always so crowded on Tuesdays. Go wait Wednesday. It's much easier. Yeah.
No, my husband asked me this morning, he's like, do you know where our polling place is? And I was like, how did you not get, didn't you not get like 1,000 emails and text messages and social media posts saying, you know, help me find your polling place?
Where is my polling place? Let's see if Siri will do this. Google will actually tell you where your polling place is and what the hours are. Uh-huh. Let's see if Siri will. Where's my polling place?
You can find your polling place at vote.org.
Okay. Google, on the other hand, will actually... because Google has your address.
Right.
Where is my polling place? Oh, it's showing my address, but so I probably shouldn't
show them.
Shouldn't show it. But it says if your address is, then your closest polling place is Cinnabar School. It tells me the address. It's open from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. If you're registered at a different address or want additional information like how to vote early, use Google search on your phone or computer to learn more. I think that's nice.
Yeah, it is. Well,
it's a nice feature.
I told him, but he's not on any social media and he never signs up for anything. Like, so he's
like wandering in the wilderness really like a normal person.
Yeah, exactly.
Does Twitter tell you where your polling place is?
I got a lot of tweets saying,
yeah,
here's
what to
how
do.
To find your polling place.
Yeah, what to do. And then I've been getting text messages like crazy. And I don't know how... this is wrong. I don't know how this is happening. The funny thing is I'm not just getting text messages for me. I'm getting them for my wife and my son. So well, they must have I think it's my family iOS account, but it's all coming to me or something. I don't know. I don't understand.
Maybe. Did they ever use your phone number to register? I don't know. I don't mind the text messages because I feel like if they are reaching someone that, you know, forgot to vote or didn't know or had not had, you know, just, I don't know. I just feel like they might be reaching someone who hasn't been reached before. And so I feel like, fine, I'll delete them. Doesn't bother me. Somebody might be reached who wasn't reached.
I deleted them, yeah. But I didn't have the same sanguine approach as you. My steam came out of my ears. It's like, how did they get my number and why are they bugging me?
Public. They're public records.
Is your phone number in a public record?
Yes. And it's all public records. Well,
that doesn't mean
as
I give them permission to text me.
No, they're not giving you. You don't. But you know, if you apply to be on the do not call list, that's not political. Like you don't. Political stuff is not included.
I'm on
in that.
The do not call list.
It's political stuff isn't part of the do not call
because
list.
Of First Amendment rights.
Yeah, exactly. There's a couple apps we can talk about that in the news. There's that I wanted to ask your opinion on. There's Vote With Me. And also Outvote, which is they're both apps that will scan your contacts and then let you know
whether they voted
last time. And what their political party
yeah.
is.
They like, won't tell you how they voted.
No, but it'll tell you whether they're
but
registered
that's, again,
Democrat
public,
or Republican.
Public registration.
Yeah.
Right?
So yeah. I was looking through that and I was like, What? That person is a what? I did not know that. It's sort of like Zillow a little bit.
It's another
you know,
kind of McCarthyism.
Like Zillow's been, you know, weird that you could like look up and see how so much someone paid for their house. They're all public records.
Yeah.
But in this age of technology,
it all combines.
Like,
yeah.
Well, they package it up in this way that we can look and see. And I don't know if that's good. And because it's also designed so you can nag someone. And I think I'm done with the nagging.
No more nagging.
People to vote no or nagging. Not vote. I certainly don't nag people to vote a certain way. Like I was speaking to someone this morning who has planned not to vote, and they said, "Well, what if you force me to vote and I voted for like everyone against your party?" I was like, "That's fine.
I just think that
I'm not forcing you to vote a certain way. I just think you need to express.
You should vote.
You ought to express yourself."
As Lisa always says, "If you don't vote, you have no right to complain."
Right. But voting doesn't make you a good person, and not voting doesn't make you a bad person. That's not the way it is.
No. Mm-hmm. Let's talk turkey. Are you having people over for Thanksgiving?
I don't. My mom hasn't figured out if she wants to do it at our house or her house. So I know.
It's a little late. You've only got 2 weeks.
I know. We're either going to do it at our house or her house. So we don't know yet. We don't
have
TV, so.
Oh. See that TV there? We're taking it home for Thanksgiving.
I know. That's nice.
We're going to have a 100-inch TV because there's not one, not two, but three football games on Thanksgiving.
You also
start at 10 in the morning and you go till you're comatose.
You also sort of half invited me. You and Lisa did.
You and the family are more than welcome. So here's what we did. I've already ordered it. In fact, I can start with a recommendation for Harrington's Hams. Harrington's of Vermont. And this comes really from my mom. We wanted to get mom on, but she just wasn't in the mood to put makeup on. So she would have told you this. Instead of a turkey, and they do have turkeys, you can get a turkey. But it's a beautiful whole smoked turkey. The corn cobs smoke them. I'm getting a giant ham. Now, you don't eat ham, so this won't entice you. How about, for those of you who don't eat meats, a little pesto lasagna.
Ooh, is that what you're having?
We're going to make a big, I'm not going to do a turkey at all. We're going to make a ham, a delicious dinner ham from Harrington's.
No turkey at all? I am
no
not
turkey.
Coming over to your house. That's
you know,
for sure.
Turkey's so boring.
I don't even eat it, but I just feel like it needs to be there.
You look at it. I'll have a plaster turkey constructed for you.
Okay.
We're getting, my mouth's watering now. I'm thinking about it. We're getting a ham. And then I thought, oh, well, I should probably have more than that because I don't know how much. So we're going to make lasagna. The nice thing about lasagna is you can make it a few days ahead, put it in the fridge, and then bake it on the day. And it's kind of in fact, casseroles in general are a good choice because you can prepare mm-hmm. them ahead of time. And the nice thing about the ham is it cooks for something like 8 hours. Turkey's a long time too, but ham even longer. And so I could put it in. I probably get up around 4 in the morning, put the ham in, go back to bed. About 10 o'clock, put in the lasagna. You know what we need? I wonder if you have. I need a turkey timing program to help me organize the long march that is cooking Thanksgiving, where you would like say, okay, we want to eat at 3. When do you, are you at early or late or middle?
We're at 3-ish.
Three, yeah.
Well, it's planned for 3, but that depends on how many bottles of wine my mom's been through. So it could be,
could be later.
9.
This is why the casseroles are such a good idea.
Yes.
So yeah, well, I think we're eating a little earlier than that. So it'd be nice, though, if you put in the time, say, this is what I want to make, and it would back time the whole thing. If nobody has this, I'm going to make this for next year. I'm going to write the program. I'll give it away for free. It's going to be called Turkey Time.
I'm sure there's a series shortcut. We should look in the
because
shortcut.
Because it should say, okay, you want to eat now. Here's what you're making. Here's when you start each thing. A good chef, a good cook at home too, will know if you have a planned meal when you start each thing because you want everything to arrive at once. Mm-hmm. It's one of my pet peeves when you get to a restaurant. And something's done, one dish is done and the other one's not. And you sit there and you're waiting, or the other one's cold because they had it done and they didn't serve everybody until the other one. That's a pet peeve and it's very common.
Well, you remember what Stacey Higginbotham did last year, the Gantt chart. She has her Thanksgiving Gantt chart. So
that's the way to do it.
About it. She has.
Yeah. So that's maybe
like
what you need.
Project manager.
Is a project management tool. It'll lay you back time. Actually, you could do it that way, couldn't you?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So I think, I think they have Gantt chart templates.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I'm sure. I did not research how to cook a turkey. I have other apps for Thanksgiving. Are you ready for them?
Yes.
Okay. The first one is if you're driving somewhere for Thanksgiving or if you are in the living room and you just can't stand the family talking and you need to secretly listen to an audiobook. I found an app. Now, I subscribe to Audible and I love Audible, but someone recently told me about Access 360. Have you heard of that?
No.
It's like Libby, which we have talked about before.
Oh, it's a Overdrive. Library.
But I put books on hold in Libby and Access 360, and Access 360 came, and I'm still waiting on Libby. So it uses your library, so you can check if you have a library card and it accesses your library, which it's got tons of libraries, you can check out audiobooks or regular books for free. So I am listening for my book club. Eleanor Oliphant is completely fine. Have you heard of this book?
No.
By Gail Hahnemann. It's quite good. It's sort of like a dark Bridget Jones diary. Huh. And so, you know, it's not a fancy interface or anything, but just...
Yet to see him in normal
and
footwear.
And it's good.
He wore training shoes at all
good
times.
Narrators.
Good readers.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, it's whatever's available in the library. And you have to, you know, if it wasn't available right away, they have a certain amount of audiobooks, and then it became available.
So while everybody's watching football, you're going to be listening to Eleanor Oliphant in the other room.
So let's see, you can...
Do you use your AirPods for that, or do you have something more stealthy? You need some secret... You know, here's a great tip if you wear hearing aids.
Mm-hmm.
Get MFI hearing aids, mm-hmm. like my Starkeys. I have Starkey Halo 2s, and the iPhone audio will play right through the hearing aids, and... What is it? What are they going to say? Yeah. Hey, take out your hearing aids and watch the game? No.
No.
So you can listen to a book and they'll never know.
This is why I have this haircut, so I can hide my AirPods behind there. So they're stealthy. Bluetooth buds.
Can you tell that I'm wearing earbud? I mean, I guess if I wore these to Thanksgiving, people either think I was Bono.
Right.
No. Or, I don't know, I could say they're for hearing.
You could.
They are, but not for hearing you.
So check that out. And also if you're traveling somewhere and you want an ebook and you don't want to pay for it.
I like this idea.
Yeah.
So Libby is one and Access 360. Mm-hmm. Access 360.
So my suggestion is put them in both. I put my book club book in both Libby and Access 360. And if they didn't come up for hold, I was going to go ahead and use one of my Audible credits that I am hoarding. Support Audible too.
I am going to cook, as you know, and I have a variety. I collect cookbooks in the real world. You know, I have many shelves of cookbooks. And of late, I've started to collect cookbooks on the iPad. And I have some really good ones for you. I also have one to stay away from.
Mm.
And I was a little disappointed because I'm a big fan. You probably know the magazine Cooks Illustrated
mm-hmm.
and America's Test Kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a big fan. But I, the America's Test Kitchen app is, I can't recommend, unfortunately, because, well, first of all, they don't have an iPad version, which is kind of hard to believe. But the other reason is they want you to subscribe, and it's the worst possible deal if you want this. So it's not that I don't like the app, because they have America's Test Kitchen's recipes. These guys go in and, for instance, it's the turkey recipe I use, because they went in and they tried 20 different ways of cooking turkeys, and they said this one's the way to do it. And it involves a little bit of, you know, you turn it upside down after a while and stuff like that. But the app, and you'll see the reviews are not very good. And I concur. I paid for the app, and then but fortunately you get a free trial. So in fact, it's a 2-week free trial. So if you wait till Thursday, you can use it and get it done before you have to pay for it for Thanksgiving. But I have to say, you'd be better off going to the website, subscribing, and getting their other apps. One of the things you might very well want to get is the fabulous Cooks Illustrated magazine. In fact, let me go back to my food folder. Because this magazine, one of the reasons I love this magazine is there's no ads. This is kind of the Consumer Reports of cooking magazines. It only comes every other month. That's another reason to love it. Mm-hmm. It's not overwhelming, but every issue has great recipes, great suggestions, and unfortunately, better than the America's Test Kitchen, their other app, the America's Test Kitchen doesn't give you discounts on utensils, and it doesn't tell you how, you know, it doesn't have a lot of the features that the Cooks Illustrated magazine does, and the digital subscription. So go to the website for Cooks Illustrated America's Test Kitchen. It's the same people, and get the digital subscription. It's less, and you get more. You'll get other apps as well. There's a little tip for you. The other app, and I've mentioned it before, you've got to use this app if you collect recipes, is called Paprika. It's available on iOS. It's available on Android. It's also available on Mac and Windows. And you have an account, it synchronizes. So all of my recipes are available, you know, the ones I've collected. It doesn't come with any, but the ones I've collected are available on all of my platforms. I love cooking with the iPad because it's just the right, you see, and I have a little stand for it. It's just the right size for the kitchen. It's not so bad if I touch it with a floury finger. I can clean it off. So this is one of my favorite ways. And it has, the other feature I really like in it, it has a browser. So if I go to a website, what's your favorite cooking website? What do you like? You like
Real Simple?
Real Simple. Me too. Very good choice, because who doesn't want Real Simple?
I do.
Foods, right? So if I go to their recipes page.
Oh, I want to find out the biggest mistakes you're making with concealer.
You see? Don't make those mistakes. Let's go to their recipes page here and pick any recipe. You know, that might be good for Thanksgiving. Wild mushroom and spinach stuffed shells.
Ooh.
Doesn't that's for the vegetarians, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what I really want to do is a sweet potato pie. But let's talk about a pumpkin pie, okay? Actually, this is a how-to. I want a recipe. Let me go back. Chicken pesto flatbread sandwiches. Doesn't really matter. What I'm going to, and I think I've shown you this before, but I'll show you again. So the recipe, as you can see, is it's in, you know, website format with a lot of extra cruft. Press the download button. I'm now downloading the contents of this page, and I've turned it into a recipe with actual ingredients, the directions in the directions part, notes, even nutrition information if it's available on the page. And if I save this, it now is part of my paprika recipe box. And as a result, for instance, I got this from NewYorkTimes.com. Ale-braised collards with ham. I'm thinking this might be a good one for leftovers, since I have a 16-pound ham. There probably will be, unless more of you come over. There'll probably be. So what's beautiful about this is you can actually put this into your shopping cart. You know, the ingredients you need. You can add it to your list of things that you need to get. You can of course, use it to cook with. Directions. It doesn't do the fancy things like read to you and so forth. But frankly, this is kind of all I really need. It even has scale and convert features. It has a timer. See, it says every 30 minutes, I press the 30 minutes, start. Oh, and I do need notifications. And now I get a little timer as I cook through the recipe. So this is not a free app, but it is the very first app everybody should get if you want to do Having a great recipe app is so important, and Paprika continues to be the best one out there. You can see these are some of, and I won't go through all of them. These are some of my recommended cookbooks. You got to have The Joy of Cooking. This is the full Joy of Cooking, the Irma Raumbauer classic in here. And of course, before you do a Thanksgiving dinner, you're going to want to read what The Joy of Cooking says is the traditional Thanksgiving dinner. It's all in here.
It's not ham, I'll tell you that. I already know that.
Yeah. I am going to make stuffing, though.
Okay.
But it won't be turkey stuffing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I'm going to be. You know, I should probably do some searches for the kinds of stuffing I can make, because I don't have turkey stuffing. So here's an introduction to stuffing. Joy of Cooking is the classic. No more turkey, announced the little boy at the Thanksgiving dinner table. He's my kind of kid, but I'd like another helping of the bread he ate. The stuffing. Now, of course, everybody knows you don't make stuffing in the turkey.
Right.
Because
so it doesn't matter if you don't have a turkey.
Right. But look at sweet potato and sausage stuffing. Doesn't that sound good? So this is the classic. It's Americana. It's traditional cooking. But it is the basic that anybody who cooks has to have on their shelves. And now, because it's on an iPad with its full text, it really is easy to search for it. New York Times Cooking, of course, has all the great cooking recipes from the New York Times. This one's not free, but it is really a very nice. You can see I haven't turned on notifications. I should really. When we started doing the show, I turned off all notifications mm-hmm. on this. Really a great source of. Oh,
I use that one, and I store all kinds of recipes in there that I'm not.
Yeah,
you
can save them. So if you like it, you just bookmark it, and they're in there. So let me look at some of these brioche chestnut stuffing. Mm-hmm. Roast turkey with garlic and anchovies. That's not going to go over too well. Cranberry pomegranate, broccoli with fried shallots and olives. I'm going to bookmark that one. That sounds like one. So this is a good way to plan your meal ahead of time. And then finally, if you want to just kind of get the most recipes for your dollar, I think that's all it costs, Big Oven, which is recipes from everybody. Like this collects, I think there's 100,000 recipes in here. So there's no lack. Ready for Easter? Here's all the Easter recipes. I should really probably find Thanksgiving recipes. But Big Oven is a subscription. You can save them. You can take it to the grocery store. You can do a shopping list with it. This is a really nice, for the most recipes of all.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you want every recipe in the world. The negative on that is unlike curated cookbooks like Joy of Cooking or New York Times Cooking, not everything's going to be good.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to know what you're doing when you
yeah, that, I don't. Those are too much for me. I apologize for texting. My mom just texted me and said we were having Thanksgiving in her house.
Is she watching?
Yes, obviously. Nice. So I'm sorry I said that about you drinking wine all day at Thanksgiving, but we know it's true. We do that.
Who doesn't?
I have one cooking app. Because as you know, like I have a lot of dreams of cooking, but I'm not really a cook or chef. I just bought an air fryer, even though I was told not to.
Don't.
I did it anyway. I'm going to.
Have you cooked anything in it yet?
No, I haven't even brought it home.
I think you have two young teenage boys.
Yes.
They're going to want French fries.
Well, I want them to learn to cook.
And don't get an air fryer.
Like I want them to learn to cook, and Marco can do that, and he does that. But
they're
going
to be like Michael Scott with their George Foreman grill making bacon in the morning.
Exactly.
This is not a good solution.
Jill Duffy on Twitter advised me not to get this air fryer, but that was after I bought it, Jill. So I'm sorry.
Okay.
She was like, just use your oven.
So the way it works is it's baking.
Yeah.
It's hot convection baking.
Right.
Now, do you have a convection oven?
Yeah.
Okay, then you didn't need it.
It was on sale. That was the problem.
It's all right. It's convenient.
Yeah.
I'm not going to knock it.
Okay, so here's...
I have a lot of kitchen gadgets.
Here's the next app that I'm going to spend time looking at and hopefully at one point cook something. It's called Simple Feast. Have you heard of this?
No, tell me about it.
So this is different chefs. It's curated.
Like it.
And it is free to try, and it's free, and then you can subscribe to it as well. I think it might be all vegetarian, which is why I... So this is a carrot that wanted to be a chicken cutlet. That looks good. Doesn't that carrot look good?
It ain't no chicken cutlet.
I
love carrots. I'm the only one in my family who does.
I love carrots,
but I like Moroccan spice. I would make that because I don't like a Just boil a carrot, no good. Mm-mm. But cook a carrot, yeah.
Yeah, it looks like you're frying it up with panko breadcrumbs. So, yeah, you know, it added these items to
that. That sounds good.
My shopping list. And let's see, I'll clear all that. Okay, because I'm not really going to do that. And then I can go through and see the different chefs, and I can watch videos.
I'm going to look at this. This looks great.
On poaching eggs.
This is kind of like master class for cooking.
Yes. It does appear that this is all vegetarian items. Quick recipes, that's what I like.
They know you.
Yeah. I think that it might just be caramelized cauliflower with chickpea lentil stew. That looks good.
Okay, that does sound good, yeah.
Farro with wild mushrooms. I just like looking at
farro's
thinking
good.
About
I
these.
Think the idea of putting mushrooms in there would give it a nice rich.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
This must just be all vegetarian because it's
this is creative.
Steak tartare.
So, it's nice. Joy of Cooking is not as creative. It's like, here are the basics. Here's how you do it. Mm-hmm. You want to, make something. You want to make an apple pie. Here's how you make an apple pie. Mm-hmm. I'm a little bored.
Yeah.
I need something new. I need a good, I need inspiration. That's a great inspiration.
Yeah. Look at that. Avocado tacos with radish and beet chutney.
So that's exactly. So Joy of Cooking is avocado toast.
Uh-huh.
This is avocado tacos with chutney.
Right.
Wow, that looks good, whatever that is.
Flat carrot noodles with chickpea arrabbiata.
Oh,
all this
carrot
looks delicious.
Noodles.
Not for Thanksgiving, maybe. And here you can specify recipes like I have the I want to lose weight, but you could have I have small kids or I want a steady energy level. I'm pregnant or breastfeeding. I do strength training. Let's do I do cardio. And so then maybe these recipes have a little more protein or something else that I need.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So
that's an interesting slice on the
I don't know if it's
recipe
giving
book.
Me any.
What's this called again?
It's called Simple Feast.
Simple Feast.
Free to try, and then you can subscribe if you like it. And they have one of those, per month or forever. I wonder if anyone's ever subscribed forever to something. Because I think it's $200 to subscribe forever.
I almost always do forever.
Really? You would pay $200 for
that? That's a lot. No, I wouldn't do forever for that. But if I know I'm going to do something every month, I just want to pay it, forget it. I don't like getting the dinged every month. So.
I bet if you did it, you usually do a whole year.
I will at least do a year.
So do a year if you use it for a whole year.
And then forever.
Because I think it's probably, $70 a year or something. I don't know.
But like my TiVo I bought forever. I don't want to pay. I know I'm going to keep using that.
Right.
Stuff like that. Stuff I know I'm going to use. Mm-hmm. You're right. With apps, it's pretty typical for me to use it for a while and then stop.
Mm-hmm.
Stop completely.
So. Have you created your Thanksgiving playlist yet for... Okay, well,
no.
I can share mine.
I didn't
mine
even
with
know
you.
I was supposed to.
Obviously. What's going to be playing? I'm definitely not going over to your house. What's going to be playing on your HomePods?
Football. No, you're right. That's a good point. I have. I should do this.
Okay,
I do?
I've created Megan's Thanksgiving mixtape.
What would be traditional?
Well,
turkey songs?
First of all, Flock of Excited Turkey sound effects.
Oh.
You'd start with that, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Yeah,
and then
they're running from the axe.
You'd move on to the Vince Guaraldi Trio Thanksgiving theme.
Oh, yeah, that's good. I love anything with Vince Guaraldi.
A little Adam Sandler Thanksgiving song.
They want to hit a Thanksgiving song.
Then we go into
I didn't even know. I knew he did a Hanukkah song. I didn't.
Beastie Boys Gratitude.
Oh, that's good.
A little Led Zeppelin Thank You.
Oh, nice.
Some Bob Dylan, of course. A little Shelter from the Storm. Nothing, no playlist is complete without a little T-Swizzle, Taylor Swift, Janelle Monáe.
So is it kind of a country-heavy playlist here?
No, that's really the only country song.
Okay.
Some jazz. Oh, wait, no, some musicals from Oliver.
Food, glorious food.
Exactly. Do the Mashed Potato, James Brown.
This is good.
I'm going to share it with you.
Can you share that with me?
Yes, I can share it, and we will also, I will put it up.
Is it on Spotify?
It's
Apple Music.
On Apple Music, but I will also put it on Spotify. I'll put both of those links.
I like this.
But right now,
we could play this while we're cooking.
To you.
Yeah.
I'll share it to you.
Because the games don't start till 10, so we'll be cooking in the morning.
I'm going to airdrop it to you.
Look, I just got it. I just got it.
You can show it then.
Oh, I just got an airdrop, and I'm
there
getting.
There it is.
Oh, let's add that to my list. So now, can I just say to my home hub, hey, Shlomo, play Megan's mixtape.
Megan's Thanksgiving mixtape.
Keep the music that's on your... wait a minute, is this going to delete my music? Holy cow, wait a minute, something happened here.
You want to keep the music that's on your iPad.
If you keep it, it'll be merged with your iCloud music library. If you delete it, it'll replace with the music already in iCloud. I don't even understand what happened here. All I wanted was Megan's playlist, and it's about to delete all my music?
Hit cancel. Do you subscribe to Apple Music?
Yes. Add. This requires iCloud Music Library. See, my mistake was I just clicked yes. To add songs in to your library, turn on iCloud Music Library. Okay. Whoa!
You don't have iCloud Music Library?
I think I want to keep the music on my stuff. Yeah. Can I? Well, that, but I can't then add this?
I don't know. You should be able to.
Oh, good.
Okay. So now you
that
have
was scary.
That.
It's and now downloading them all.
Right. And anyone who's actually friends with me on Apple Music can automatically get this. I don't even need to share it with you. And
How long is it?
Oh, it's not very long. I didn't. I just created it this morning.
It'd be nice. Here's a little.
You can add to it.
14 songs, 46 minutes. No, that's enough. I'll just repeat.
Because then you'll probably want to play.
Flock of excited turkeys. That's on Apple Music?
Yeah.
Is there anything they don't have on Apple Music?
Well, and if you don't like that particular turkey sound effect, there's a whole
more?
Album. Yeah. I mean, there's a whole album of turkeys. Yeah. So you can pick. There's sad turkeys. There's
well,
about
that
to
might be
hung
more appropriate.
Turkeys. Well, not
these
on
are the turkeys that got
table.
Away.
Well, that not on yours either. There's no turkey.
Right.
On
there's
table.
No turkey.
They're excited
don't
about
play
your
the
ham.
Sad pigs.
You know who's excited about your ham? These turkeys.
There's one pig walking around without a leg.
So
I love
there you go.
Megan's Thanksgiving playlist. Thank you, Megan.
You're welcome. And there was, of course, there's already pre-made Thanksgiving. You know, everyone on Spotify, especially, I found
there's
some.
There's quite a few. Yeah.
There's cooking music, a whole album
fun.
Of cooking music. Just, yeah, do some searches.
So I could just say, hey, Shlomo, play Megan's Thanksgiving mixtape.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's in my Apple Music now, we just play.
Oh, you could say it on your phone, on your iPad,
nice.
On your HomePod.
That's nice.
There's there's a whole gratitude playlist, Thanksgiving drive. I didn't make this one, but it seems good. Lumineers.
Over the river and through. Oh, the Lumineers, of course.
Yeah.
Home. We're going home.
Some Post Malone. I don't know how you feel about Post Malone, post the Post Malone gate, but it's a lot of Lumineers. I don't know who created this one.
That's pretty much all Georgia. Lumineers.
Georgia Quinzel.
Lumineers equal Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
You know, there's one other thing I thought everybody should probably have for Thanksgiving. Open tables so you can make a reservation and
yes,
get the...
Yes.
If the turkey doesn't come out... Now, the Open Table is the premier dinner reservation app, and it really is great. Everybody should have an Open Table account. You could see this is in our area, places I could go for lunch. So there's a lot of choices, but it's not every restaurant's on Open Table. So I'm going to show you a couple more that everybody should add to their list. Resy just bought Reserve, so Reserve was one. Reserve only has one restaurant in the area, and that's in Glen Ellen, which is a ways away, because there's been a rebellion among high end restaurants against Open Table.
Why?
It's complicated. The Open Table requires you to use their Open Table software. There's a subscription fee, which some restaurants don't like. I think, on the other hand, it's a real convenience, and I want to, you know, if a restaurant can afford Open Table, do it. Some of the high end restaurants don't, and so they have tried some other choices. This is called Reserve, and as I said, Reserve just bought Resy, so Reserve is going to probably be an up and coming one. But again, it doesn't have anything in Petaluma. These are almost all in the wine country, right? And so that's kind of, but because we have a lot of fancy restaurants in our neighborhood, this is how you would book some of the fancier restaurants. So this is why you can't just get away with Open Table. You need Open Table. You need Resy. You used to need Reserve. And we've mentioned before, in fact, this was an app cap. This is also a local. And it's really, really a fun kind of weird slice in all this is called Chef's Feed, and you can also use this to find pie for breakfast. What? There's a concept that's in Oakland. Let's go.
Oh yeah, that one Colleen recommended, Chef's
yeah.
Feed. That
yeah,
was a good
that's
one.
Yeah. So this is actually a local guy who does this. So, but there's lots of cities in it. So I think a good idea to have this in case maybe something goes wrong with that Thanksgiving meal. You ever burn a turkey? Not a pretty sight.
No, once our turkey was not all the way cooked by like a time that it needed to be.
Yeah. Did y'all go out?
No, I think we just ate very late.
Yeah. Just keep cooking. That's everybody's had that happen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's why I'm getting up at 4 a.m. I don't want anything to be uncooked.
Do you have to cook a ham that long?
Most hams are pre-cooked.
Oh.
The Harringtons ham I bought is not.
Oh.
So there's, in fact, when you buy it, you want a little primer on
ham? Are you going to have to kill the pig?
Yeah. You want a little primer on ham. You got your country ham and you got your city ham.
Mm-hmm.
All of you out there probably have had city ham. That's the one that sometimes they've injected it with water. Usually it's pre-cooked. See, if you get a spiral slice, that's a city ham. The ham you're used to is city ham. A country ham is more like a prosciutto. It's a dry aged ham that's been around for a long time. You don't probably want a country ham for Thanksgiving. It's really more for slicing, like prosciutto or Spanish ham, Serrano ham. It's more for slicing, putting on sandwiches, having with hors d'oeuvres. It's delicious. I love a good Virginia ham. They keep them in the attic, you know.
The pigs or the ham?
Just the ham. The pigs are gone.
The pigs are the ham. You know that, right?
It's a whole leg is what it is.
Okay.
Sometimes they leave the trotter on. Then you know exactly what you're eating.
What's the trotter?
The foot.
Oh, okay. Oh, the trotter.
If you're a vegetarian, I apologize.
Thank you.
You're welcome. But so we got a city ham. And then within the city hams, you have your ready to eat or ready to cook. And ready to eat is smoked, ready, and like the spiral slice. If you get the honey-baked ham, that's all cooked. You don't have to cook it. Just warm it up. But I wanted one to cook, so I got from Harrington's corn cob smoked. It's a nice smoked ham, juicy, delicious, but it needs to be cooked about 20 minutes a pound.
Oh.
And I got a whole one, which is 14 to 16 pounds. So do the math. That's like 5 days I have to cook that.
It's smoked but not cooked.
Yeah, smoked for flavor.
Okay.
But it's not cooked, so you have to cook it, much like you'd cook a turkey. And the reason I get those is because my preferred way of making a ham is very low temperature, slow cooking, like 225 for literally all day. Mm. And it's juicy and tender. It just falls off the bone. It's so good.
I've got one more recommendation for your Thanksgiving. For those TVs that aren't playing football, and I guess a lot of them will be, if we could take a look at the Apple TV back there, it's the, this is the West, it's from West.
This is free because it's an ad.
But yeah, it's a free, but
it's
they're
a
not,
catalog.
You know, they're just showing you different kinds of Yule log. It's more than the Yule log. It's the whole fireplace. I believe it's illegal now in Petaluma to create a fireplace in a
new
home. Yes,
you can't have a wood burning. You can't even do a pellet stove.
Yeah.
And it's a good thing because, you know, just south of us, Marin County, there are a lot of older homes with wood stoves, mm-hmm. and it gets kind of chilly in the winter, and you can see a pall of smoke as you drive through Marin County and smell it of all the wood fires, and I don't think that's too good for the air or your health. So nowadays, we have a gas fireplace, and I like it. It's very cozy. It has fake logs, but it kind of looks just like this.
This one is my favorite. So you can have all different kinds of styles.
Oh, it's snowing out, too.
It is snowing.
That's cute.
And, yeah, you probably could buy that West Elm bench or lamp if you wanted to. But there's many to choose from, and it's a free app for your Apple TV.
But at home, you like the Nick Offerman.
I do like the Nick Offerman. I wonder if we have that on this Apple TV. Let's see.
Nick
Offerman. I think it's on YouTube, actually.
Nick just sits there. It's quite long. Poor guy had to sit there for hours.
That's all the Nick Offerman movies. I think if you go to YouTube, let's see. YouTube, Nick Offerman, Yule Log.
There you go.
There we go.
I like how they spelled Yule, as in you will log.
You will.
There it is.
Yes. So 10-hour version? Probably. That's how long your Thanksgiving's going to be.
He just sits there.
There's a little bit of an intro in it now, but
because
mostly
he's a manly fellow. They want to establish his manly street creds.
And I think this is also an ad for whiskey, right?
Oh, is that it?
I believe it is an
beautiful
ad.
Yule log.
And so, yeah, it's the Yule log, plus he's sitting there, and every once in a while he'll take
spooky,
a drink.
Really, to have Nick Offerman sitting in your house.
We always put this on for parties. summer parties, it makes people feel a little weird. But for Thanksgiving, for sure, it's excellent.
How long has anybody sat and watched this and see where it loops? I mean, he didn't sit there for 10 hours.
No.
Do you think he sat there for an hour?
I haven't looked, but I should. And it looks like it's not a whiskey ad because there's no label on that whiskey.
It's an ad for whiskey generically.
It's just an ad for Nick Offerman, and I will buy that.
God bless him. Look at those boots. If this were West Elm, I would buy that outfit. And yeah. See, to me, this is a cozier fireplace than the West Elm fireplaces. They're all kind of modern.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It freaks people out a little bit sometimes when they come into your house and there's just Nick Offerman staring at you.
You know, there's a guy sitting on your TV watching you.
I would definitely watch this over football any day.
It's peaceful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's very peaceful.
What's going on now? Just fire?
Are you burning?
That's the Darth Vader Yule log.
Oh. Oh, yeah. From the funeral pile of Lord Vader. We can never forget.
Is it time for me to talk about how good I am at grammar?
Okay, this is the funniest thing, because you and I think, are both good writers and are very good at grammar. And yet, we both use Grammarly.
Yes.
It's like you use a spell checker, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody does. Mm-hmm. Because you could be a great writer and you misspell one word and everybody thinks you're illiterate. So Grammarly is the most awesome tool for people who want to not make grammar mistakes. I think that's probably what people assume when they hear Grammarly. It helps you write more clearly, write better. It will look out for spelling, grammar errors, advanced punctuation. It takes a look at structure. Style within context is very sophisticated. It'll give you good vocabulary suggestions. Stephen King just tweeted, he says, can people stop using the word amazing?
Mm-hmm,
so,
I saw that.
So you use the word amazing. No, Grammarly said, you know, how about astonishing? What about that? Mm-hmm. Give you some good suggestions. Conciseness. And I really like this. It'll tell you readability. It'll give you a readability score. And it's even sensitive to different occasions. So a business proposal, you know, might be need to be more readable than, say, an academic essay. Actually, if you're a student, you want to turn up the read, make it be only college graduates can read this. You need Grammarly. Whether you're updating your resume and you want to make it work better, whether you're posting items online to get more customers, whether you're listing your home when you go on vacation, and of course, if you're writing for anything, for work, for school, for pleasure, once you start using Grammarly, you'll never want to stop. It's the communication tool that helps people improve their writing, be mistake-free, be clear, be effective. And right now, you get 20% off your Grammarly premium account when you go to grammarly.com/iOS today. Now, don't take offense, but I'm going to spell Grammarly for you because I think a lot of people think grammar has an E in it. There is no E in Grammarly or grammar. For that matter, grammarly.com/iOS today. 20% off.
You know, we all have a few grammar peccadillos.
Yes, as you know, we
can get help. We can all get help. We can all use it.
You say you get a score?
I get a score. So I'm pretty proud of this. So I'm
going to have to go through my email and find my Grammarly score.
So I have a writing streak of 10 weeks.
Nice.
I was 97%.
See, I need that just to get me blogging more.
Yes. Yeah, 23,000 words. So
this week?
No, total. I don't know. That would be a good question if that's this week or total.
It's 10 weeks. You can't be writing more than 2,000 words a week.
Let's see what it
maybe
says. What last week was 14,000. Oh, so maybe.
Are.
I mean, that means that
you wrote 9,000 words last week.
Yeah.
That's nice. Good job.
So here, what else am I super proud of? I'm proud.
This is an email you get every week as a Grammarly user.
I could obviously I have my own peccadillos here. 51%. I'm more accurate than 51%.
Oh, you're right in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised.
But I use more unique words than 97% of Grammarly users.
I knew that. I knew you'd do that. That's
and
good.
And Grammarly Premium found 345 additional advanced mistakes.
Yeah.
So that's advanced
mistakes.
Those
are the ones people kind of don't even know. Mm-hmm. You don't want to make a grammar mistake that you don't even know you're making.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes Grammarly will say, you know, something. I go, oh, yeah, of course, I forgot the comma.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it'll be like, oh, that's not acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
Grammarly.com/iOS today. 20% off your Grammarly premium account. I use it. Lisa told me the other day. I hope she doesn't mind me repeating this. So she writes, she has a little bit of a brusque style sometimes in her emails. Have you noticed that? Because
yes.
She's a get it done person. She's the CEO. She's the boss. And she doesn't want to spend a lot of time. In fact, sometimes she'll have me write emails that are, you know, critical because I'm good at softening
them. Oh,
really?
Some critical emails really were coming from you?
No, not for you. But the other day she was writing an email and Grammarly said, you might want to think about making this a little nicer. It's so awesome. You want this. You mm-hmm. want this. It's like having a best friend, somebody you really trust. So just between us, you know, you might want to be a little, you might want to say please in that email. She loves it. She will not write without it. You shouldn't either. Grammarly.com/iOS today.
All right. Should we take a look at our weekly screen time report and see how we're doing?
Do we like doing this?
I like doing it.
You're going to like it a lot today.
I did not. I'm trying to limit myself to 30 minutes a day on Twitter, and I keep pressing that, you know, extend.
Yeah, I do too. In fact, I turned it off.
You did?
I didn't turn off screen time, but I said, okay, because I had it set for games. I said, I don't want to be limited on games because I play Pokemon Go all the time.
So 40 minutes this week.
No, last do the week 7 days. That's it?
40 minutes. That's my daily average.
2 minutes a day?
No, 2 minutes today.
Oh.
So 40 minutes is my daily average.
Okay.
See that? 40 minutes. You can't really see that. But yeah, so you want to see the last seven days?
There we go. That's what I want to see. 2 hours, 48 minutes a day.
Yeah.
You got me beat.
Yeah.
You got me beat, girlfriend.
4 hours and 28. But that's Pokemon Go.
It's Pokemon Go.
For you, not for me.
And you can see that, by the way, that's 36% down from last week.
So
and you can see it.
Somewhere.
For some reason, I spent 17 hours in settings last week.
What? 17 hours in settings?
It doesn't seem possible. I spent more time in settings than playing Pokemon Go. I did play 10 hours of Pokemon Go. So I think our average of 2.5 hours in settings.
What is that?
I think there's something wrong there.
Yeah.
Maybe like I left settings open or something. I don't know what happened there. So I'm going to take that out of the mix. But I did, I mean, that's true. 10 hours of Pokemon Go. That's more than an hour a day. That's too much. And then I don't know why, but 1.5 hours looking at the clock. I only spent 1 hour listening to books.
Did you set a timer or something in the clock? Did you use the clock to set a timer?
No, I think this is kind of a flaw. Maybe I had the clock open.
I don't know.
Forgot to close it.
Mine seems normal. Mine's, you know, messages, text messages, 5 hours.
How often do you pick up your phone every day?
Where's pickups?
Scroll down.
71 times per day.
Oh, I got you beat there, thank God. Because I'm staring at the settings, I only picked it up 54 times.
I was busy looking at the settings.
Monday and Tuesday of last week, because of the Apple event, probably 93 times I picked it up. That's a lot, though. Even 54 seems like an awful lot. That's like, so you're awake for 18 hours, right? So that's like 3 times an hour.
How many notifications?
500. This, by the way, I changed. So this is before I read an article on how to make your iPhone not be annoying.
And then turn off notifications.
Basically, number one was turn off notifications. Although, these are all coming through messages, you know, Hangouts. Mm-hmm. And you know what I love? I really love it that you can then tap it and go directly to the notifications and say, you know, this is out of control. Turn those off. So messages, Lighthouse is my, you know, home camera. News. See, actually, this is after I turned off notifications. Because, see, These are all the things I left on. I want to get text messages, right? I want to be notified if somebody's robbing me. I do allow Apple News to give me alerts because of election season. Those will get turned off probably after the election. Phone, I want to know if somebody's calling or called. Maps, I want notifications like when I'm driving. And Amex in case somebody uses my card. So that's what I did do is turn off, you know, so many apps because, frankly, that's how they get your attention, maybe even get your money, is they use that notification screen. So many apps do it. So I turn it off on everything except for those particular kinds of things.
Yeah.
I still got a lot of notifications.
425 text messages this week. 425. That is too many.
That's because you have kids.
It is. It's all about who's going to drive them here. What are they doing? Like, yeah. They're not in the complete, like, Annabella pretty much is. But the 13-year-old, it's still, like, if it's a bunch of moms planning everything because the kids just can't really manage.
By the way, I have it set for all devices. And that means every iOS device I use has, as you do, is tracking the screen time. So that includes iPad usage. Maybe I had the clock out on iPad or something like that, or settings was left on iPad.
You were just doing research for the show. What settings can I show it's people wild. That they might not know about?
You know, it may be. It's hard to believe I spent 17 hours in settings. but I spend a lot of time in settings to help people. I'm always opening settings and saying, well, you got to do this, that, and that. And it's not easy. Apple settings, there's so many of them, and it doesn't seem to be any logic in their layout, so... Maybe
that was turning off notifications. It took you 17 hours to turn
Actually,
off all those notifications.
Actually, it might be. I did spend a lot of time in settings this week going through that. I found a really good article. I should probably recommend this article. Let me see if I can find it again, though. I don't. I mentioned it last week on MacBreak Weekly, I think. But I found a really good, or maybe it was on Twig. No, it was on Twig. A really good article on how you can kind of lock down your phone. Let me go to my pin board. Maybe I have a link on my pin board. I don't remember. Oh. Well, we'll just have to save it for later.
Well, watch Twig.
Yeah. And I was using... Oh! Now I know. I was trying to kill my iPhone. That's why. So, the clock...
Oh, when the helium thing.
And if you didn't see the new Screensavers or Tech News Weekly this week... Wildest story about a hospital where they got a new MRI machine and all of a sudden everybody's iPhones died. And they finally figured out that there was a little helium leak. And it turns out your iPhone is susceptible to helium. Mm-hmm. Most Android devices are not. iPhones and Apple Watches are, because Apple uses an oscillator chip that's a microelectromechanical machine. It's so tiny, you can't see it with the naked eye. It's really small, but it has little oscillating arms. 32,000 times a second. That's the clock, the heartbeat that keeps the iPhone and Apple Watch running. And apparently, even though it's impervious to air, it's sealed, helium is such a tiny molecule, it can get in. And so the helium, if you get in a helium environment with your iPhone, will get into this tiny little oscillator and freeze it. So I set the clock, we turn it on, we put it in a bag, filled the bag with helium from a helium balloon. It would not die. I tried to kill my iPhone.
You wouldn't.
Wouldn't die.
Well, I think the helium has to be so much of a concentration that it would kill you, too. I mean, good thing you put
it
in the bag.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't?
It doesn't. That was the thing. The hospital, nobody died. Nobody's voice even changed, but there was enough helium. Oh. Yeah, so I don't know. I did it with my iPhone XR. It was brand new. Maybe the seals were better than that. Mm-hmm. We had Kyle Weens on from iFixit. He wrote this up at iFixit.org. And Kyle... used a phone that had been disassembled by iFixit. So maybe the seals weren't quite as good. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's why I had an hour and a half of clock time. There's the article.
Sense.
An hour and a half of clock time because I was trying to kill my phone. By the way, it doesn't kill it permanently. If this does happen to you, if you happen to stick your phone into a helium balloon for some reason and it stops working, there's the MEMS. Look how tiny. Actually, go one more down. Yeah, there it is. That MEMS, if you look in the upper right-hand corner, that arm is broken off. You see? So those arms go back and forth. There's four of them. The one at 2 o'clock, yeah, right there, it's broken.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Broken MEMS.
Thanks, Kev.
So we are going to get our iPads tomorrow, correct?
I am going to have a very big day tomorrow. I just got my text message.
Oh.
I am going to get a shipment from Apple that includes 2 MacBook Airs, 2 iPads, 2 pencils, one which says Dream Girl, one which says Dream Boy. I'm going to give you your new iPad. We'll have a little ceremony to replace the old iPad.
Will we do like a live unboxing at some point? You'll be doing shows.
Depends when it comes. Yeah, we might be able to do it in between shows. Tomorrow we do Windows Weekly and this weekend Google. And yeah, if the boxes come, we might. I got a gold MacBook Air. Oh, and a Mac Mini. I forgot the Mini. We got a slate gray Mac Mini, and I got an 11-inch iPad Pro with pencil, and the Apple Folio, the $200, crazy $200 keyboard. And I got the 12.9. I'm hopeful because I got the old 12.9. It was so big. I gave it away. I gave it to Brian Burnett's brother, Greg Burnett, who is a beautiful, talented artist. And I think I hope he's done some beautiful artwork with it. But this one, it's going to be, I think, a little, people say it's usable. It's the size of an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper. So it's not that much bigger, is it? You know? Anyway, we'll see. We'll have those for next week's show.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what a woman thinks of it because apparently there were no all the iPad reviews
by men
came in and there was not a single woman. It's usually like Lauren Good, Joanna Stern, but I don't know if maybe they just haven't gotten it.
The embargoes were lifted today, so we may see.
I thought yesterday.
Oh, was it yesterday?
Okay. Yeah, okay. They came in. That's the Verge.
There's Neil Eisenberg. I think he wrote a very good one, which it points out that hey, it's clear that this is, you know, technologically the top of the line thing that Apple makes, but it's still an iPad. He says the bullet train may be fast, but it's still on rails. And he says the limitation of the iPad is iOS software. And of course the price, the iPad that Apple lent these fellows, they didn't lend us one, but the ones they lent to the reviewers was a $2,000 plus terabyte iPad Pro 12.9 inch. So I did not order that.
And I'm looking forward to the Folio. Last time I tried to save money for you, and I really did I love this keyboard, this red, shiny, colorware keyboard.
It is beautiful.
And I love this canopy from Studio Neat.
But we're going to retire it.
Because I just want it to be one piece. Because then I had to get another case that holds the pencil, which you don't need anymore. So I just want it to be...
It's also getting a little ratty looking.
It's getting a little ratty.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah, a little ratty. So, yeah. But I do have something else to show you that you don't have to buy for me. This is the Pad and Quill.
Oh, I love their stuff. That's beautiful.
Luxury Valet. So this is for the MacBook.
Is that... it's for the Mac? Mm.
But I think that...
The MacBook Air or the MacBook?
The skinny one? For the 13-inch MacBook, not the new one.
The old one.
That Lisa's old MacBook. And so I carry this around maybe. Do you want to take a look at it?
Yeah.
I like it because it has no zippers or clips. You just sort of, you know, it's easy access. It's like a wallet, sort of.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of, I would rather have a zipper or clip than this.
You would?
Well, look, you got to do...
Well, to get it closed, yeah. But you don't need to usually close things fast. It's not that hard.
It's pretty, though.
It is
Pad
pretty.
And Quill does nice leather
they
work.
They really do.
So it has a tab and tongue.
Yeah, it's easy to get out quickly.
And this, what is this here?
You can put an iPad in there if you use it for... You can put an iPad mini
in
there.
These little holes, what are they? They just...
For
getting stuff
pens?
Out? Oh, I get it.
Yeah.
It's stylish.
For Apple Pencil. It's very stylish. They have some really nice cases for the iPad, too.
What do you have? It looks like Anthony has something. Throw it at us. Is this Pad and Quill, too? Or
no, this is Waterfield.
Oh, you know, I like Waterfield stuff.
Mm.
So
that's
this is a
nice.
This is a messenger bag.
Oh.
So, or no.
I think they call that a over-the-shoulder bag.
Well, you can do it any variety of ways. So if you want to do it a sling...
It's a sling bag.
Yeah, sling over the messenger style. You change the hooks, so it's going from left to right.
Mm.
That's actually better for you than a over-the-shoulder bag, as it's more balanced.
Mm-hmm.
This is nice. It's got
the Waterfield Versatile Sutter Tech Sling Bag for Apple's new iPad Pro.
Canvas and leather, so it's got some leather accents, but it's mostly canvas. It has a lot of pouches. This is pretty nice.
Mm-hmm.
And this is for the iPad?
It's for the iPad Pro and the MacBook Air. They're pretty much around the same
size.
Oh,
wait a minute. This could be our app cap.
Yes, of course.
What is this really for? Nice. I don't know what this slot's for.
Let's see.
It's for losing things, I believe.
I have experienced the losing. Well, you can zip it up.
Yeah. You want to make sure.
I think
it's probably so you can put
access on either side. So
yes,
you can sling it over on either side and get
access. Oh, because it is. It's a sling. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, so you don't keep those open.
This is beautiful.
Double waterproof zippers enable entry to the main compartment from either side.
That's it.
A gold water-resistant liner lights up the interior of the bag for increased visibility.
I gather you're reading the press release.
An interior key fob attachment.
Oh, you know what?
Keeps keys quickly findable.
I look for that. I won't buy a backpack or bag that doesn't have a little fob because I put my keys on that. And you want to be able to whip them out.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice.
An open top pocket helps keep your gear organized inside, leaving ample interior space for a water bottle, notebook, wallet, and more.
Please don't put a water bottle in the bag you keep your MacBook in.
Okay. Also for your train tickets.
What's this?
That's for your train pencil. Tickets? That's for your
train tickets.
Train tickets?
So we know this is for what?
It's for a pencil, your pencil.
Ooh.
Your Apple Pencil.
It's got some very nice fleece lining.
3-pen pocket for the Apple Pencil and ballpoints.
Oh, wow. Ooh. 3-pen pocket. Nice. This is
That is nice.
This is gorgeous. Gorgioso. Mm-hmm. All right. That is from, this is SF Bags. SFBags.com.
It's Waterfield. Also for Waterfield.
I have a lot of Waterfield stuff. I very much like their stuff.
The sling bag is priced from $169 to $179, and the pencil case is $39, but it's complimentary with the Sutter Sling orders only through November 9th.
I better get on that.
They obviously sent us this,
and we will
not
be sending it back.
Yes.
Yes. Because we don't keep this stuff. If we want it, we buy it. Right, Megan?
Right.
Okay. This is good.
I'm sending this back, and then I will send this back to
see you wear it like this, and you look like one of them San Francisco hipster types.
Yeah, that looks good.
It's got a quick release, so you can size it very quickly. That's mm-hmm. good. You know what? They make nice stuff. I like Waterfield stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I can see me wearing this.
I could see you wearing it. You should wear it for the rest of the show.
I'm going to have to. I don't think I can take it off.
All right, so we've got a couple people sent us videos.
Okay, let's hear them. Let's watch them.
Peter sent us this video of a problem he's been having with iOS 12.
Hi, Megan and Leo. Since the installation of iOS 12 on my iOS devices, I've noticed a rather strange behavior around the personal hotspot. Let me demonstrate. On the right is an iPhone X. On the left is my wife's iPhone 8. Both are running iOS 12.01. If I go to the Wi-Fi setting on the iPhone 10 and turn it on, I can see my wife's phone here listed already as a personal hotspot, even though it's clearly not turned on there at the moment. If I select my wife's phone, straight away you can see personal hotspot comes up. Strangely enough, when I go into personal hotspot here, you can see it's still switched off. Then when I go back and select my wireless network again, it turns off the personal hotspot. As I said, it seems a rather strange behavior. Maybe you can decide, is it a bug or is it a feature? Keep up the great work on iOS today, and thanks again.
Thank you, Peter. And by the way, I want him in my U-Log next year. Peter's did a great demonstration. This is not a bug. This is a feature, so much so that Apple actually touts this feature. So I'll show you. It works the same way here. I have my, and I think it's a good feature. I have my iPad, and as soon as I go into Wi-Fi, it sees my iPhone XS. This is a convenience for you, so you don't have to turn on personal hotspot. It'll just go on automatically on your iPhone XS, or your iPhone 10, and it will be using that as a hotspot, which I think is fine.
What if I don't want to use my phone?
Don't tap it.
Okay, so it won't, if you
don't
tap it.
It doesn't do it unless you choose it as a hotspot.
I can't, it won't automatically connect mine to yours.
No.
So if I mean, the same thing, if I
see that. Just because we're on the same count, you're not going to see Leo's iPhone XS if you go right now to Wi-Fi.
No, I don't.
No.
I don't see that.
Yeah.
I see mine though, and it does the same thing. So it's a feature.
It's a feature, and it did. It turned it on, just as Peter showed. It turned it on my iPhone XS as I use it. And if I go off of it and go back to my building's Wi-Fi, it'll take it off. It'll turn it off here as soon as it gets around to it. And that actually Apple sells as a feature. And this happened, I don't think it was with iOS 12. I think it's been going on since iOS 11. And And the idea, if you think about it, is wonderful because it'll do that on your Mac as well. Mm-hmm. You have a hotspot, you know, and rather than having to go in here, turn on hotspot, remember the password, go over to your iPad and enter it all in and stuff, you can just choose it. It sees it. So this is part of, I think it's probably part of Apple's continuity, mm-hmm. which is the sharing between iOS devices and desktop devices and devices. And I suspect that that's where they label it. But they made it a big deal. They said, oh, look at this. It's really cool. So it's not a bug. It's a feature that Apple has touted.
So, but it is good to know that because say you're like on a road trip and your kids are in the back seat
they
with
could
the iPads,
it.
They are going to use up all of your data.
That's a good point.
If you don't, because you can't. Like,
your kids
I used to think I could just
it.
Turn it off and they yeah. couldn't. And so it sounds like they must be on, you know, a family plan too, because it was two different phones that were doing that. So it doesn't matter if they have an iPad, if your kids are on your device.
It says other devices signed into your iCloud account will be able to use personal hotspot without having to turn it on manually. It says it right here. So they have to be signed onto your iCloud account. The presumption is if somebody's on your iCloud account.
Right, then.
Then you've given them access, and so, but that's a good point. The kids in the back seat, maybe you don't want them to do that.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how you would prevent them from doing that, though. That's interesting. It may be. Let me change the password. It may be
that kids, if your kids are signed in on your account as a child, maybe they aren't allowed to do that, but.
I don't know. Let me sign in and see if I have to re-enter the password. Because that's the thing. No, you don't. So I changed the password, and it turned on personal hotspot on my phone. I didn't have to enter the password and sign in. So it really says, look, these are both on the same iCloud account. You don't need to do anything. That's a convenience. But, yeah, I guess it would be there's a use case that you might want to consider. Your kids could do that.
I mean, I guess you could turn off your...
Part of this is Apple's probably saying... But your kids shouldn't be on your iCloud account. You could family share.
Right. Well, that's what I'm wondering.
No. It says on using your iCloud account, not necessarily family sharing.
Okay, because his was his and his wife. So would assume that they were
they share
family
an
sharing, not sharing.
I bet you
account.
They share an account. Is Henry here? We should ask Henry because he's in my family, or Lisa.
Yeah.
They're in my family. I don't think they see my iPhone XS as one of their options on their Wi-Fi. Mm. I would hope not.
Good question. We have another question, another video from Craig about this Apple Watch.
Hey, Megan, Leo. Multitasking here. You getting a Halloween candy? Want to ask you a question about the Apple Watch? When I push this button, it shows my list of apps. When I push this button, it shows my recent apps. You guys talk about a dock and storing your favorite apps and having them easily accessible. How do I do that? How do I add things to the dock? And how do I get to the dock? And how do I remove them?
It's a good question. It's a setting.
And one more thing. Happy Halloween. This totally breaks face ID.
So if you don't want to show your
he
face,
was wearing
you can
a mask.
Do like Craig did. Wear a mask. That's fine.
I was wondering. I wasn't going to comment. I thought, well, maybe, you know, he sounds muffled. That's his. Maybe he's got... bad teeth. He was wearing a mask before something like that.
Yes.
So there's two things. He showed that you can get a list when you go to your apps. And I prefer the list, far prefer the list. But if you long press the apps, you can choose between the traditional grid view, which is completely unusable as far as I'm concerned if you have more than a few apps installed on there, or long press here and go back to list view. That's what I prefer. And then the crown will scroll through it. Now, let me show you the other thing, though. He was saying that he wanted to be able to choose whether he had favorites or recents in his dock. And that is actually one of the settings right here. And you have to go to the phone for this one in the dock settings. You could choose the dock ordering, recents or favorites. So the old way of doing this, part of the confusion is this is a relatively new feature. In the old way of doing it, it was always favorites, right? And you could add something to it by pressing a button when you had the app open, that kind of thing. Now you have the choice, and the default is, I believe, recent. So when you press the dock, it'll show the apps that you have had open most recently. But you can change that if you want to have that be, you know, just your favorites. You can change it. And then you see, I don't know if you noticed, but it quickly changed, and the order changed as well. So This is how you choose what you want to appear in the dock and how they're ordered. And you do that in the watch app itself.
That's a really handy tip because there are things that I look. I mean, there's so many apps that I use regularly. I like that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. The old way the dock was, you actively said, I want these in my dock. Mm-hmm. Everything has changed in the Apple Watch. And it is, you know, I have to say, the problem the Apple Watch has, and it's not going to stop, is that it's a very small device. And there aren't very many ways. The user interface is a little more complex than, say, an iPhone or a Macintosh because there's only a couple of different controls. And Lisa was running a workout. She had been doing a workout on her watch, and she said, how do I stop it?
You slide to the right.
You slide to the right, but how would you know that, right?
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah, so I had to explain, you slide to the right. But it's not, you know, she's going, well, by the way, notice a couple of things. I've changed, and this is a new feature also in the watch settings. You can choose whether you see all of the activity metrics, pacing and mileage and stuff, or you could just choose an individual metric measurement. I always want to know my heart rate when I'm working out, so I just chose heart rate. But you can scroll through these and have other things show up. You can choose the thing that you most want to see. So if you want to simplify this face, which is normally fairly complicated in the workout app, there's a setting for workout that you can change, and I think it's here.
That's a good tip.
Yeah. It's one of those things where, you know, you have to kind of find it. Workout view, you can either have all the metrics, and then, by the way, you get to choose by workout what metrics are included and not included, or you can do what I did, which is simplify it, because all I really want to know most of the time when I'm working out is my heart rate.
Yeah.
So I have a single metric. And you can choose what metric you want by just scrolling.
It does so much that there are some things that are hard to find. I ran a 10K last weekend, and I wanted to change it from miles to kilometers. And I figured it out, finally, I think, just by hard-pressing everything. But then it kept it on kilometers.
I think it's the nature of the device. It's such a small device that it's not a lot of the use. And this is why I think the Apple Watch isn't quite as successful as maybe Apple had hoped. It's doing very well. It's the number one smartwatch easily and probably the number one fitness device. But there's a lot going on and you got to figure it out. Sometimes you have to go to the phone to do it. Sometimes you have to do it to the watch. It's just complicated. Mm-hmm. So on the other hand, if you take the time to learn it, I really like the Apple Watch. I now wear it every day, as you probably noticed.
You know what's not complicated?
Getting a mortgage if you have Rocket Mortgage. I thought
That's
you might exactly say that.
That's exactly what I was going
to
say.
Our sponsor, Quicken Loans. We love Quicken Loans. They are the number one lender in the country in a couple of ways. Number one in customer satisfaction, according to J.D. Power, for the last 8 years. And now, thanks to that, they're number one in volume, too. They're the biggest lender in the country. But don't think big means bad or unresponsive. The way they got there, and they're not ever changing this, is by focusing on your satisfaction, by focusing on customers. That's why Rocket Mortgage exists. Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage for people like us who don't want to go to the bank to get a home loan. We don't want to fill out a long application, and we especially don't want to have to get all the paperwork and the bank statements and the pay stubs and fax them into the bank. We don't want to do that. Rocket Mortgage eliminates all that hassle. Go to rocketmortgage.com/iOS today. It's an entirely online mortgage approval process. It's a three-step process. They call it the power buying process. Step zero, create an account. Do that right now, rocketmortgage.com/iOS today. And then when you see a house you want, or you just say, okay, we're ready to seriously start looking, you can answer a few simple questions. It's not a 20-page application. It's stuff you have in your head, your address, your date, birth date, your social, that kind of thing. And they'll check your credit, and they'll tell you what loans you qualify for based on your credit, what term, what down payment, what rate. You choose the loan you want, and they'll give you pre-qualified approval. Then all of that's in just a few minutes. Then the next part, step two, kicks in. Within 24 hours, Quicken Loans will verify income, assets, and credit, and then you get verified approval. Now, this is huge. You actually get a letter you can show your realtor, the seller, that says they're good for it. They got the loan. You're essentially, you have the strength of a cash buyer. So, and that's important nowadays because it's kind of at least here, I don't know where it is, how it is in your area, but here it's a seller's market. The seller usually has many offers at the same time. You want to get ahead of that line. You get this letter, you show it to them. They say, oh, there's no contingency. They got the loan. Okay, you're a cash buyer. that moves you right ahead. I wish we'd had that. We lost out on a couple of houses the last time we were house hunting. There was a beautiful house. We loved it. And some guy came in with cash. And, you know, you just can't compete unless you got verified approval. Step three, once you're verified, you qualify for their all-new exclusive Rate Shield approval. In the last few years, you might not have needed this. Interest rates have been very steady, but they've started to go up. Oy. And that means there's pressure when you're looking at a house, because that means at any moment, interest rates could go up a few, you know, quarters of a point or, you know, a tenth of a point. And that can mean thousands of dollars over the life of the loan. There's real pressure to get this done unless you've got Rate Shield approval. Quicken Loans will lock your rate up for up to 90 days while you shop. That cannot go up. It could go down. If the rates go down, it'll go down. But even if rates go up, your rate stays the same. You know what your rate's going to be, and you have up to 3 months to look for a house. It takes all the pressure off. It's exactly what you'd expect from America's number one mortgage lender. That's how you get to be number one. Customers first. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/iOS today. Rate Shield approval is only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply based on Quicken Loans data in comparison to public data records. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, and MLSConsumerAccess.org, number 3030. Check it on out, rocketmortgage.com/iOS today. Time for our app caps?
Mm-hmm.
Let's don our happy app caps. I'm Turkey Head.
And I'm going to cook the turkey.
Oh, my goodness. She's Turkey Chef.
Yes.
It's our our traditional Thanksgiving headgear.
Yes, yes.
I was hoping you might be a leek this year or a pepper or something
well,
else.
Well, we actually have a few weeks before Thanksgiving. Okay. So we can,
maybe we
can
do some other.
Yes, we have some.
We'll do the side dishes next week.
Yes, exactly. Okay, so you, I know, have heard of this app, but I just discovered it. Do you remember a couple weeks ago when we were doing the screensavers and we were talking to DP Reviews about the Pixel 3? And all of its things, it takes a million pictures, it can take better pictures in low light. I got jealous, and someone in the chat room suggested the Hydra app.
Hydra's great.
Hydra, yeah. Camera app. So it's...
It takes a lot of pictures.
It takes, yeah. So I'll take a picture of you with the Hydra app. Here, okay. Is the app. I'll take a picture. So do you think I should take an HDR picture? Because it's not really low light, or a high res picture.
So either way, it's going to take multiple images, and okay. Even with the new iPhone, this is going to do a better job in low light, I think.
Okay, well, I'll take a picture, but then you can't...
I would do HDR.
Okay, that's HDR.
Yeah. Does video HDR, too, which is kind of cool.
You were moving around, so...
It should be smart enough to reject motion, yeah?
Nope, not so much. There it is.
Not so much. Okay, that's the drawback right there. You nailed it.
So I'll take a picture of a picture so you can see what is happening when I take this picture. This is a high-res picture.
It even so tells you.
It took all of these photos.
Yeah.
And then a picture of a picture. Let me take a picture of this coffee cup. How about that?
Well, I can show you mine. Okay. This is an HDR of you. Now there's a bright light on you and it's very dark behind you, except yeah. It's not. This image, I'm going to say yes on that. This image, if I zoom in, you can see the detail in the background very clearly. You can see our guest, but Megan's also lit. Now it has that HDR feel, and you might have noticed I had a choice of how strong the effect is going to be. I think that's really nice.
But what I wanted to show was what it does, like when you, like it's taking all these pictures. So take a
picture. Watch this. Because it goes capturing 40, 58 images to get a high res picture. That's a 32 megapixel picture with a 12 megapixel camera. How can that possibly be? Now you have some images you took.
I did. Yeah. So I was in I was doing
look at
my
that.
Cross country.
Look at
and
that.
It was dark, it was low light. So I chose different choices and then it does black and white. I think that's pretty nice.
I like that. Yeah.
And then you can have different effects. Not like filter effects, but just different, like, you know, strong or not so strong.
Now, when you're doing the high-res mode, it does the same thing Apple does, which is the slightest motions of your hands, it uses those to get different points of view. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to shake your hand, but it's okay to handhold in the high-res because it's going to use those It works best, of course, if something's not moving, but you are allowed to move. In fact,
you are
it's okay to move a little
bit. Oh, really?
Bit.
Should you move?
You don't want to move too much.
Yeah, because So I can do the black and white. I can turn this picture black and white if I want to.
Yeah.
Medium.
And if you zoom in, you'll see it's a 32 megapixel image, four times the number of pixels. Oh. Because it's taking 50, you saw that, 58 images.
Yeah, that's a lot. So why is this zoom is better than...
Well, I think to some degree, this is all stuff Apple's now doing built in into the camera. But Apple, for good reason, doesn't take 58 images. It's not making a 32 megapixel image. It would just be too big. So if you install the program, it's because you know what you're going to get and you know what you want, and you want to do a higher quality image. So in that respect, it'll give you better results than the Apple. But it's using some of the same techniques. It's computational photo. And Hydra does a very good job. But before, of course, the iPhone XS, this was the only way you could get that kind of low light performance.
So would you recommend using it if you're going to take a lot of photos with an older iPad?
Absolutely. I'd also recommend it even with an iPhone XS because as long as you play with it, get it and play with it, because you don't want things, you're right, you don't want things that are moving. You have to have the right situation. But something like that beautiful landscape you took, it's fantastic. It's going to get a better image than the iPhone can do.
And then, is it better in low light than
yes,
the iPhone?
Yes, same thing.
Okay. Yeah. But then, it's that same old problem where you have to remember to open up the app before you take the photo.
I honestly have a bunch of camera. We mentioned Halide a couple of weeks ago because I can now do pet portraits. I think it's a good idea to have a couple of these specialty apps for those special occasions when you need a little extra oomph.
Like Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Low light. Mm-hmm. Yep. Turkeys are shy, as you well know. So,
all right. What do you have over there?
I'm not sure this is... Does an AFCAP have to be something you say you have... I recommend?
No, you've been playing with it.
It could be something of interest that you may or may not want. I'm not sure. I spent a lot of money on the Heston Q system, and I blame Alex Lindsay for that. It is a smart cooking system. This is one problem I have. I don't want to use my iPad in portrait mode. And this is an iPad app, but for some reason, it's in portrait mode. Let me show you. It's not just an app, kids. It's an entire cookware system. Let me bring in the Heston Q. Ugh. So I bought the full Heston Q system. You always have to get this. This is an induction burner. Do you know about induction cooking?
No.
It's kind of a cool cooking method. Induction cooking uses magnets in the surface. You have to have a pot that is made out of a magnetic material like iron. This has a core of iron. This is a special Heston Q pot. And with the Heston Q pots, they also have Bluetooth. There's actually a little brain in here with a battery. It has Bluetooth, so it's not dishwasher safe, so you want to hand wash this. It comes with a standard fry pan and also what they call a chef's pot with a lid, so if you're making something larger. And eventually, I guess they'll do even more kinds of cookware. And you can even get a Heston Q cooktop. They make a full-size cooktop to replace your standard gas or electric cooktop. A lot of people love induction cooking. It's a little safer. This surface gets hot because the pot's hot, but it's in. I could turn it on and turn it up, and it won't get hot by itself. It's not heating up the pot by getting hot. It's heating up the pot by induction.
So you could lay your hand on there?
You could, but remember, the pot will get hot, and if you've had the pot on there, it'll be hot afterwards.
Ah, right, right.
So don't think it's going to be cool, but I can have it be cooking right now, and it's not going to get hot. And then, of course, it ties in. This is the wild thing. It ties in to the recipes in the app. So, I don't know. Let's make a quick and easy broccolini with chorizo and almonds. Now, what's fun about the app, and it shows you which pans it uses and all that. What's fun about the app is it has a lot of videos that show you how to cook. So, I mean, this is always one of the fun parts. It's not very often that you get a frying pan that has to be updated. So they give you videos on how you're going to do the preparation. You just press the next step button all the way through, chop the almonds, chop the broccolini, thinly slice the shallot, thinly slice the garlic. Now, place the Heston cookware on the burner, as I have. And let me see if I can get this. Yeah, you can see You can see here. Watch. This is the. You can do this. Whoops. You can do this manually. It will. You know. You can use. I wouldn't recommend using these pans on a regular stove, but you can use this induction top manually. See, it has on off buttons. But really, the real intent is that you use it on the burner. So I'm going to push the buttons to let it know that I have. Is it plugged in? Did I unplug it? John, could you check the power? I'm not. Is John gone? Oh, well. I push the power button on your burner, push the next button on your burner, and in theory, it's going to be cooking, but I guess it's not plugged in. So if it were, lights would light up, things would happen, and this actually controls the software. Unplug this. The software controls the temperature of the burner. It goes all the way down to 200 degrees, up to, you know, 350 or 400. And so what will happen is kind of automatically the burner will get turned up, turned down, simmer, boil, whatever it is it needs to do to make the recipe. Honestly, it's not that hard to cook with a frying pan. Honestly, you probably know when you turn the gas up, it gets hotter, turn it down. You may not know the exact temperature. I like the recipes in here. I think the videos really are great. But this is an expensive system. I think it's a total of $700 or $800 if you get it all.
My air fryer was only $50.
Yeah. As I said, I'm not going to judge your air fryer.
So have you cooked with it?
Yeah, we've cooked several times with it. We cooked last night. I cooked my marinara sauce in this pot because it has a lid and it's a little bit more capacity. And what's nice is even if you're doing it manually, and you can do it manually, you can set the temperature directly. Let me get out of this. So I knew that I wanted to, with the sauce, I wanted to get it boiling, you know, and then turn it way down low. And you can do that, which is kind of cool. You have manual control as well. Here, let's go into control mode, and I'm going to use my pot.
Let me ask you a question to see if it solves one of my cooking problems. Garlic. Sautéing garlic.
Yeah, because like, it'll burn, right?
Yeah, could I just throw garlic on there and then go play Pokemon Go and then it would sauté?
Yeah, you don't have to, yeah.
To the
you
right
might want
amount.
To keep the, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. Hmm.
Yeah, that's kind of a lot of money to spend for that particular. Yeah, I don't know. We don't have power. Maybe I broke it in carrying it around. I don't know. In any event, you really don't need a demonstration and I have nothing to cook, so. Heston, HESTANCUE. It's a really interesting idea. I do like induction cooking. It is a good way to cook. I think it's a little pricey for what you get.
So induction cooking, is that like when you're at a hotel and they have like a stove that looks flat?
You don't see them in hotels so much. Yes. But you don't see, really? You see them in hotels?
I feel like that I've seen that in hotels, but it's like, it's not better than gas. Gas is better, right?
The reason people like gas is instant on and off, right? Induction is exactly like that. You even have finer control because you can set exact temperature. Mm. So I think it's better than gas because it's more precise than gas. It's better than it's electric, and many people don't have gas and they can't and they have to use electric. It's better than a traditional electric stove because, you know, you turn an electric stove on, it takes a while to heat up, takes a while to cool off. This is instantaneous. So the drawbacks to induction cooking are you have to have pots that work with induction cooking. You may already, but they have to be magnetic. They have to, so in fact, if you could take a magnet and put it on your pot and it sticks, your pot will work. But there are a lot of pots, copper pots, for instance, that won't work with this. So you have to have, but you'll see a lot of fancy kitchens now have inductive cooktops because they're easy to clean. They're safer. They don't, you know, they're not, there's no fire. There's no red hot element. These are relatively cool if you haven't, you know, and it's, of course, they're flat. There's nowhere for the food to go, so they're very easy to clean. Mm-hmm. And you know, we have in our house, we have solar panels, so we like to use electricity as much as we can. It's greener for us than gas.
Right.
So this would be a great choice for somebody who wants to use an electric stove but doesn't want wants more control, wants gas-like control. And I don't know if you need to know the temperature, but it is kind of cool to know, you know, if you're going to boil water, to set it at 212.
Right.
That kind of thing. And if you want to simmer, you set it down to 200. It's slightly below boiling, and it's not going to boil over. It can't boil because it's exactly set at 200. So that's the advantage of this. I think really it's awfully expensive. But it's kind of, you know, I had to do it because it's geeky. The Heston Q system.
And Alex likes it.
$4.99 if you just want the pot, the frying pan, and the burner. You got to have the induction burner. And if you want to get the, then it's another couple hundred bucks if you want to get the bigger pot, the cooking pot. So it's kind of, I mean, honestly, this is like a hot plate, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. If you didn't have a stove.
You know, it might be, honestly, yeah. For somewhere, a kid who didn't, you know, was in the college room or something, and if you were allowed to have a induction burner, this wouldn't be so bad. I wish I could get this to make sound, because the other thing to know is there's a fan in this, and there is noise. It has a fairly audible fan as it cooks. That's my app cap, and I'm wearing a perfectly appropriate turkey head.
You are. Well, I will report on my air fryer next week. You have that to look forward to.
Does it have an app?
French fries.
Is there an app for that?
Nope.
You can't.
No.
There
I
you
can't
go.
Then?
There you go.
There, yeah, that's not me.
In know-how, you did an air fryer. Oh, no, Father Robert did.
That's Padre's arms.
Yeah, but, I think we still have that air fryer in the kitchen here, don't we? He took it?
Maybe.
It's in the Vatican now? Okay, get ready.
I don't know why.
French fries for everyone.
I never understood why that was on know-how, but
I think Robert just wanted us to buy him one.
Okay, got it. Well, there's no more left. There's nothing else to
There's
talk
nothing
about.
More to talk about. No, I think we've done it all. This is always an exciting... This, in my opinion, the best time with a new iPad is the day before you get it.
Mm-hmm.
Because all your hopes are lifted up. Your life is going to change.
Dream, girl.
You just know this is it. This is going to be the one that's going to make everything better.
Everything in the world.
And then you get it and reality sets in. So today...
Just another iPad.
...is literally the best day for an iPad owner, the day before you get it. Tomorrow we get ours. Next week... We'll have it. We'll review it.
Mm-hmm.
And we hope you'll join us.
Yes, I'll see what happens when I put it in my air fryer.
You might be. We do iOS Today every Tuesday, 9 a.m. Pacific. That's noon Eastern time. Now we've changed because we're now on standard time in California. So for those of you in UTC land, we are now at 1800 UTC. We got to fix the page. 1800 UTC. Is that right? No, 1700. They fixed it already. It is 1700, correct. You're at +8. You can watch live at twit.tv/live. And if you do that, join us in the chat room at irc.twit.tv. Or get every episode we've ever done at twit.tv/iOS. And at twit.tv/subscribe will help you subscribe so that you get every episode the minute it's done. You can get audio or video. Although this show, I think you want to see our hats. So get video. How can people send us videos? I loved it. We got two videos today.
Well, thank you to both of you who sent videos. They just uploaded them to YouTube and then sent me the link. That's the easiest way. I mean, if you want to just send me the video, it probably might be too big, but whatever way you want to send it. But uploading it to YouTube and sending me the link is the easiest way. And make them short, less than a minute.
Yeah. First name and city.
Mm-hmm. And you can wear a mask if you want. It's fine.
Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time. That was terrifying. On iOS Today. Bye-bye. Happy Thanksgiving. Oh, Nick is still burning.
Nick's still there.
He's a burner.